Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and just how long the Golden Gate Bridge is anyway. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
The poor Golden Gate Bridge. It gets dinged up in some movies. Close call in Star Trek, right?
Did it not get taken
out? That's right.
A couple Star Treks that got close call, right? Did Godzilla four? Take it out in
yeah,
Godzilla?
Four. Yeah.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Godzilla's.
Because that fight's in San Francisco.
The movie where Godzilla rebuilds the bridge, less appreciated. Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
Godzilla plus one? That'd be fun.
Godzilla plus one is like when he shows up at a wedding
with Gamera.
Sorry. Did I not RSVP? That's a comic somebody's got to do. Okay. We are here to continue our coverage of the original X-Men movies. As opposed to the unoriginal X-Men movies. We are this week covering X-Men, The Last Stand.
This is an unoriginal.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's as opposed to. I think they stand united, oddly enough.
The final question mark movie the original X-Men trilogy.
Yeah, I guess so.
I was reading about the continuity of these movies after I finished this, and I was like, yeah, I kind of remember that, but they bend over backwards for some of these later things to like make it all fit together.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
Okay, so high level chat really quick that this movie was directed by Brett Ratner, who takes over from Bryan Singer, who directed the first two installments. This movie, as I learned, was briefly supposed to be directed by Matthew Vaughn, who would go on to direct X-Men First Class. And it also has a script, I think, by Simon Kinberg, who would go on to direct Dark Phoenix, in which they would do this story again. It is fascinating to me how insular the X-Men movie community is in some ways, that a lot of the people who have been working on it since the original trilogy are still kind of weaving in and out, and I find that fascinating. But let us do a super quick overview of this movie.
That is like Star Trek, by the way. Sorry, I'm going to bite my tongue so you can get it done. But it's like how Harv Bennett and all of that, like the Star Trek people who just always constantly attach to Star Trek.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They're in and out. Yeah. All right. So the major thrust of this movie is that we have our heroes who must confront the fact that there is now a cure for the mutant gene being developed by Warren Worthington II, probably because his son, Warren Worthington III, is a mutant. We are also dealing with the aftermath of the end of X2, in which Jean Grey died to save everybody from their sins. I mean, from a giant, slow-moving tidal wave. Scott, who goes in search of Jean because he hasn't recovered, gets murdered, I guess, pretty early in this film, which is a little surprising.
Right.
Leaving Logan as our fairly sole protagonist. This Gene is only partially Gene, rather being like, you know, the suppressed Phoenix persona that Xavier had discovered in her many years ago. The Phoenix part seems to largely be in control. And so that even that when Logan manages to recover Gene, she is basically superpowered, supercharged up, and totally id. And this involves her essentially, in a really climactic scene, killing Charles, who is trying to help her reimpose these blocks on her powers in front of Magneto. She then joins up with Magneto, who is pushing this whole, like, we're going to not just protest the cure, but like take arms against the cure. Basically, the cure is derived from a mutant who can reverse people's powers. And so Magneto takes the bold stance of, let's kill this kid. So there's no more cure.
Magneto, just killing kids.
Killing mutant
not
kids,
entirely
too.
Well thought out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So he recruits his new brotherhood and along the way sacrifices Mystique, who takes a dose of the cure for him.
Yeah, jumps in front of a bullet.
And then, jumps in front of a bullet full of cure. And the movie, there's a lot of ins and outs here, but essentially the movie ends with a big battle on Alcatraz, which is where the lab with the kid in it is. It's a really long fight. Everybody uses their mutant powers. Eventually, Wolverine is like the last one left to face down Jean, who is, super powered up and, I don't know, basically insane. I don't know, that seems rough to say, but we'll discuss the problems with that. And he kills her at her behest to sort of stop her. Yes, then everything goes back to being great, except for Charles and Scott and Jean are all dead.
Or
except
are
maybe
they?
Charles isn't dead at the end. We learn that there is a comatose victim who speaks with Charles's voice. Magneto is shot by one of the Cures and ends up just being an old man playing chess in a park by himself.
No, but he moves his chess piece without.
Does he? Yeah. Oh, I missed it. Yeah. It does move at the end.
So the funny thing, like, when I first saw this,
it's like it's a Inception style.
Yeah,
did it move?
Exactly. Yeah. I believe I did not see this in the theater because I read the reviews and was so put off by it that I decided not to. And I saw it on video, and you know, this was back before you stuck around for every, you know, through every credit scene. Yeah. So I didn't know there was a post credit scene. And when Professor X shows up at the end of spoiler for a Wolverine movie, at the end of the Wolverine movie, I was like, but he's dead. Why? How could he be there? Like, I didn't.
It still doesn't make sense.
And then someone said, oh, no, you see, like, he came back at the very end of X3. And I was like, what? I completely missed that.
But it's a different body, and yet we still...
It's a different body, but it's...
I'm glad you said this, because if you look at the background, he's supposed to be P. Xavier, who is Charles's brain-dead brother.
No.
I kid you not. That is their rationale.
Oh. Right.
Conveniently, he had another body lying around. Yes. Yeah, it's real. They pulled a real Picard.
Patrick Stewart constantly shifting into other bodies. Right?
Loves new bodies.
Other identical bodies.
That actually makes me more okay with it, I guess. I don't know.
All right, I want to say something that I think might be controversial. I like some of this movie much better than I expected to. I will say the first half an hour of this movie is actually not bad. Like,
I don't know.
I like the flashback with Gene.
Oh, the flashback is good. I like that. Yeah.
The flashback is
good. I like the flashback with Gene.
Yeah.
I like the thing with the young Warren. That scene, I feel for that
really?
Kid in that scene where he's cutting the wings off.
That, okay,
I thought that was...
Part of that scene is good. Yeah, that part of that scene is good.
It's effectively also, upsetting.
It's also a heavy, heavy puberty metaphor, metaphor there.
Oh, yeah,
just, like,
sure.
Ridiculously
absolutely.
Over the top.
I didn't mind it. Maybe it's the new dad in me. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I felt real bad for that kid.
I thought all the angel scenes were terrible. I thought they didn't capture him at all, of course, because they barely
did
anything.
He's almost not a character.
He's basically not a character. He literally flies in and out, like just sort of being dropped into scenes here and there, and has no, you know, has a ridiculous, kind of a ridiculous arc where he's like,
does he arc?
He's seen as a monster to begin with who needs to be, you know, stripped of his mutant capabilities. And then at the very end, of course, saves his father by flying in and catching him when he falls out the window. It's like,
yeah,
I mean,
Ben Foster, who is the actor who plays him, who has gone on to a storied, very good career. Like he is.
Oh, yeah. It's not
he's
his
very
fault.
Successful. he looks the part I thought they did.
Yeah,
like the casting of that. But yes, I agree. His character is vastly underwritten.
Yeah.
But I did want to add, I think basically up until the point that they kill Scott, I kind of am like on board with the premise of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Cure idea is interesting.
Yeah.
It provides good conflict.
I agree with that.
But then this movie goes, I don't even know where this movie goes. Many, many places. the fundamental problem with this movie to my mind, and I think I'll be interested to see if you agree, is that they jam two storylines together and there's not enough room for either of them in this movie. Because I think the Dark Phoenix storyline is just...
That should be...
It makes no sense.
Its own thing. Although they did that later in another movie and it didn't work out so well either.
And it wasn't great either. Yeah. I think it's a very hard thing for reasons that have to do with there is some uncomfortable undertones to that entire story about basically, women can't handle power. It makes them insane. You know, like it is a problematic storyline that is not handled with particular subtlety or nuance, especially here where it turns Gene into a sex monster.
Yeah.
For like
that
two,
part,
three scenes, which is weird.
Yes, it's very bad. To be fair, it's only Logan, which I don't know if that makes any sense. All of the girls just want
to
get with Logan.
Scott, too.
Does she? Oh, I guess so. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. She basically kisses him a bunch and then like, and okay. then like
yeah,
kills
I guess
him.
So. It's only the people that she's got a crush on. I get literally crushes them. I don't know. It's weird. It's bad, I kind of get where they were going for. And it's id, like you said earlier, and lusty. I didn't get to choose, want it to be a sex bomb or was entirely at all sexually driven when she was hanging out with Magneto. Like that was not the case, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, no, you're right, but like she has no character.
She's blank.
That character ceases to exist.
Well, she's right. Yeah, she's reduced to standing around looking sort of ominous.
This movie, and I wrote that much later about one of the other characters too, and I can't remember now where we've gotten to, but it's with Raven. The misogynistic aspect of this movie, the quotient is very high. Yeah. I think Mystique's storyline is kind of awful.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Like, and this movie also turns, I mean, we had the comment, John, you and I, about Magneto being a dick in the last movie. Yeah. And I feel like this movie ramps that to 11 and makes his character totally incomprehensible.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting to compare this to X-Men First Class, where Magneto, you know, where Raven comes on to Magneto and he's like, no, you're too young. He wants to see her as she is and says perfection. Mm-hmm. I mean, which I feel like is really good. and yet when he says it here, like, you know, he's upset. Mm-hmm. So I guess he's upset that she is now not a mutant, but she is still being who she is. Right.
Yeah.
And he says she was so beautiful, which is like almost the same thing, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's
also the sensibility of the way that cure works on her, which is to say that's her natural form. And yet when she's shot by it, she just turns into Rebecca Romijn. Doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, right.
I guess. Yeah, you need to.
Well, yeah. It, yeah. Mutant powers don't make any sense.
Yeah. Like Beast happens too, right? Fair. Like his hand turns Fraser color.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing that bothered me is that in that scene too is there's a scene later where do they find out where the camp is? They show Raven talking to, you know, basically spilling her guts on it, and I think it's the president uses the hell hath no fury like a woman scorned line, and I was like,
yeah,
ugh,
that was really bad.
Boy, oh boy, mm-hmm. like. And that's a lot of this movie is also like there's a lot of super trite, super bad dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. I have in my notes. Yeah. I have like we're not there yet, but where Magneto moves the the Golden Gate Bridge and then says Charles always wanted to build bridges.
Yeah.
Come on. First of all, you're already doing something incredibly stupid. There are so many other ways you could have gotten all these people there, and you do this, which doesn't even make sense. And then did you just do it to deliver that line? Is that why you did it?
That doesn't even offend me as much as the dialogue that is totally anodyne. Like, there's a bit where right before they leave, Logan, they're all down about to get on the jet, and Logan and Bobby are having a conversation, and it's like, are we ready? We're not ready. No, we have to do this. I'm in. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, they're just, it doesn't, it's just blah. It's just like vomited on the page. And I was like, to me, that was even more offensive. It's like, this is nothing. Why is this scene here?
Yeah.
If you're not going to write something worth
it's the pep talk where you go to like open the bottle of like soda water in your fridge. And it's already been open for 3 weeks, and it's just a flat, garbagey, carbonated stuff on the bottom and not the refreshing bubbliness that you wanted.
Yeah.
There's also a stupid love triangle between Bobby and Kitty and Rogue, which...
Oh, my God.
Just ham-fistedly jammed into the movie for...
Yes.
Yes, to make Rogue make a decision that... is irrelevant. Like, I mean, I like that character. I don't mind giving her agency to make that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, the decision part matter. Is fine, but you don't need the love triangle.
No, I think her decision is one of the more interesting aspects to the two or three possible movies that they've managed to cram in here. I think in order to give her some kind of impetus to want to get the cure, we need to be shown that her life is being restricted in such a way that this is an out for her. And I think... That there's an interesting story there for sure, but ham-fisted ham-hastedly, ham-fistedly handled, and like just kind of
ham-hockedly.
Ham-hockedly, yeah. And then, not to knock Elliot Page or like the acting, great. It's just silly and trite. I kind of like when they're skating on the rink, but it's just like, okay, I feel like you just string a bunch of random things together that that you know makes up a story with these beats, but you haven't. You've got the scaffolding there, but
it's unearned.
You haven't strung it together. Yeah, exactly. It's unearned.
That scene with the ice skating rink, because the line right before that is Kitty being like, "I miss home." You know, the first snow. Yeah. You know that you're talking to Iceman. It doesn't need to be like, it's a weird setup because you don't get the feeling that she's trying to come on.
No, she's
him.
So young. It's like she's not being coy and being like, "Hey, impress me with the thing." There's nothing to it.
It felt lazy. Like the writing of it felt so lazy. And then the biggest issue I have with Rogue's Choice is like, yes, in a like a mini series where you're exploring all these different characters and like they're making different choices, then I feel like there's a great storyline in there. But in a movie that is a action movie, she disappears for the last act. She's literally just gone.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and it's like, yep, I'm not a mutant anymore. And it's like, if this were going somewhere, that would be interesting. But that's just it. That's the end of that character.
She started this series as our protagonist. Maybe not protagonist, but like...
Kind of,
you know.
I mean, like certainly...
Yeah, but
like,
one of them,
I mean, probably the second biggest character after Logan.
We were with her when she met Logan and then the story progressed and she was the key to that dastardly plot. And I guess she kind of vanished in the second one. I can't even remember what she did. Oh, she stopped Fireman from firing all of the police.
Yeah, that's right. They go on the run and all that.
And
Fireman. It's Fireman put out fires.
Fireman. Yeah. That's why it's ironic.
I mean, he could put out fires if he wanted.
He just chooses not to. Yeah.
But he doesn't.
He does not want to. There's a few things, other things I like. I think Kelsey Grammer's Beast is pretty good. Like, that's good casting.
Annoyingly so. Like, he's...
Yes. Yeah. Right.
I don't want to like it, but it works. Fine. Oh, you're kind of nailing it. There's something about, like, Frasier being blue and fuzzy and, like, still cantankerous a little bit. But erudite, it works. He's good casting.
And he's still doing it to this day.
I know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I like that. There's a couple of appearances of characters who get not enough to do, but like great actors, including Olivia Williams as Moira McTaggart, who is like, gets two scenes.
It's like, how did you get in this movie?
Shora Agdashloo appears as a scientist for like two scenes and then gets murdered.
She gets hugged to death.
By Ken Leong?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was like, there are so many good people in this movie, and yet none of them are interesting.
Yeah.
I did like the Morlock design. Like it looked like people that would, you know, be hanging out with Prince at a party that you're just never ever going to be invited to because it's just so cool.
But it doesn't. But they don't do enough with.
They don't do anything with it.
Yeah, I mean, they don't do enough with the whole point of the Morlocks, which is to be the flip side of the Xavier School. Yeah. You know, where they don't go to this nice posh New York, you know,
Academy
estate.
Yeah. they live in the sewers.
Because it's all it's a H.G. Wells like reference with the Morlocks and the Eloi. Like by the way, Guy, I don't know if you recognize the guy trying to organize everybody in the church at the very beginning there's that scene where they cut to the church and he's arguing about that we should form a committee.
I did not rewatch this last night. I've been way too busy, so it's been a week or so. It's not Tim Blake Nelson, is it? Is it?
No. It is the guy who plays Death on Supernatural because he's got such a distinctive look to him.
Okay,
with a gaunt face and everything. I just seen him in something else.
You know why I'd say Tim Blake Nelson, right? Like it doesn't.
Like he does kind of look like him. Yeah. He has that vibe. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I think that in general, Halle Berry gets a better shot in this movie than in either of the previous ones.
Yeah. Well, I was reading like the IMDb trivia stuff and you know, she didn't want to do it because I guess she had, didn't like Bryan Singer very much, which, you know.
She's also, by this point,
understandable, career, probably.
I think she could write her own check at this point. I
can't remember, but she had just done Catwoman.
Oh.
And so it was like, well, okay, I will do this if I get a bigger, role.
Yeah, let's
and
just, she did. You erase that one from the chalkboard of like, you can kind of want to move away from your failures pretty quickly, I think, you know, in that business.
Yeah.
I don't, that character, again, does not, because she was given so little to do in the first two movies, the way that character is expressed on screen, I don't feel particularly, like, feel Storm-like to me, but at least there is a character there.
Yeah, they gave her, like, a little fight, and that was kind of nice. Like, that was kind of fun. But
I don't know about the twirling. The twirling stuff, I think, is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's dumb. Stuff.
But I like dumb. the speed dashing. I'm going to forget her name. But A, she looked dope. I love that costume design and the hair design.
Is that Callisto?
I think it's Callisto.
Yes. Yes. But Callisto's not fast in the comics.
No,
right?
It's a combination of two. There's a lot of two more locks that are like kind of jammed in there.
Also, there's a character supposed to be Psylocke who's not Psylocke. Ken Lung's character is misattributed as a totally different character.
Psylocke in? Oh, Psylocke's in there.
Huh? She's like blink and miss her. Yeah. She's the other Morlock with the basically has purple hair.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Supposed to nominally be Psylocke, but bears nothing in common with
she's
that character.
She's at the end there where they capture the CEO and what's her name from The Expanse? Yeah.
Shorag Dashlu, what was the other things I thought in here were I'm trying to see if there was other things I thought was okay. I kind of like the danger room.
I was about to say we start off in the holodeck. It's not bad.
Logan lighting cigars on the flames of the car while he just does not care what's going on is good.
Yeah.
The Sentinel. You couldn't afford the whole Sentinel.
You get a couple fastball specials in this movie.
Yep.
Yep. That's right. You can't afford the whole Sentinel, but at least we got the head.
Yeah, that was a fun nod to the comics. Sure, I mean they're all cutting heads off of Sentinels, and I like to see that.
I like the teamwork aspect of it too. I like the It did have a real holodecky kind of vibe, and when you start, it's unclear what's going on. So that's a nice, fun, cold open. Yeah. You know, like ooh, what's going on? Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be kind of a nod to Days of Future Past, right?
I'm confident.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yep. Without doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, how many X-Men storylines can we jam
exactly.
into one
Let's
movie?
Let's shove another X-Men story in here.
I feel like they got to stop going back to the well. Like, we've got like a couple of Batman Year Ones. Do we? I guess so. Batman Begins is kind of Batman Year One-esque.
A little bit, yeah.
The Batman 2. Not really, though. Not quite as much. So anyway, whatever. I feel like there is, for each character, there's kind of a set of stories that just keep going back and adapting and... I don't know. Maybe it's trying to attempt to try something new, which is kind of why I like First Class quite a bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. A couple other notes I had. They waste one of my favorite characters, Jamie Madrox, with like two scenes.
Yeah.
He has literally two lines, neither of which is a good line. One of them is, I'm in.
We got Vinnie Jones.
Vinnie Jones.
From
Yeah, that's right. That's where we all know him from. I like Vinnie Jones. I think everything about this character is bad.
Yeah.
Looks bad. Lines are bad.
He's a very, he's a very like, oh boy. I mean, he's a very foxy rendition of Juggernaut.
Foxy rendition.
Yeah, I don't care for that. Yeah. Version of this character. The helmet is so bad.
Yeah.
The helmet's really bad. I mean, and then he gets knocked out just by running into the wall. I mean,
well, his powers are gone. It's the joke, right?
Yeah,
well,
I know.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense, though.
I mean, like, that's not what really happened. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I do like Kitty's ingenuity there.
Yeah, I think they won. I think they wanted like a rock, paper, scissors thing, which is like, here's our slightest person versus like a giant Hulk and see what happens. But,
yeah. Yeah, right.
The Magneto thing I want to go back to. There's a lot in here that I think is just turns him into a cardboard cutout of a villain. From the fact that he basically, as soon as Raven loses her mutant powers, as soon as, right? Like, not even like, well, we'll take you with us, but like, you know, you can't work, like, you don't have a place here anymore. That already would already be questionable because I feel like it turns him into like just a total opportunist. But like, he just leaves her there naked in the truck. And it feels like just such a... mustache twirling villain move. Like, I don't care. there's the bit at the end where he sends all like the pawns, that he does that line twice where he's like, that's why the pawns go first. And it's like,
because
once again, you're just evil now. Like there's not even we're not even going to make the like argument. Like there's some nuance to.
Yeah. Like dispatching Sabretooth because blah, like I'm trying to keep a low profile or something. This is just like, we've seen that guy with like the iron that he took out of one dude's blood bust out of an entire facility. And you're telling me that he can't, like, why are these people rushing this stuff when he can clearly just wipe the floor with everybody there? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Plus, just the callousness of letting everybody die.
That's what I mean.
Not like that character. Yeah.
If you could convince me that it's like, look, we need to risk these lives in order to achieve a bigger goal, I could get with it. Like, I don't think that's a good decision, but I could at least understand the thought process. I think it's...
That's not canon.
No,
fodder,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Because I think it's horrible, and I think it's even out of character from how we've seen him previously, that he wants to kill Artie. But I can see him getting there in a weird, twisted, evil guy way of like, look, if we kill this kid, that's a tragedy, but we've saved mutant kind. It's almost a kid, from his screwed up perspective, it's almost like a kill baby Hitler kind of concept. But like cannon fodder?
But we don't sit with it at all.
Exactly. A, we don't sit with it. B, cannon fodder, it just underscores anything. There's no there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, his whole, Magneto's whole thing is trying to save mutants. I mean, yes, he does it. He is reluctantly going to kill Kitty Rogue in the first movie. But
yeah. And already
he's
in this,
not just
and
like, he's not movie. Just sacrificing him left and right.
Yeah, we don't see him wrestle with the idea of killing the kid at all. It's literally that's like move one.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, well, there's a kid who can stop the cure mutants. Just murder that kid. Problem solved.
Yeah.
Like that is not a person that you have any sympathy for.
Also,
and
I mean, I don't know if you've heard of offsite backups, but I'm pretty sure that research is not sitting in that building. Like it's gonna be tough to sort of put that genie back in the bottle, I think. But like they're manufacturing this cure en masse. Like,
yeah, but they have some throwaway line.
Make it again.
They have some throwaway line about how they can replicate it but can't create new.
Oh, okay, maybe
it doesn't.
That, so
you know,
I'm sure.
But it doesn't matter. It's hand wavy.
Right.
So like. I don't know. That whole character feels bad to me. Like even the thing with Charles, right? Like where he watches him die, right? Like I don't feel like, based on everything we learn about Eric and Charles's relationship, yes, they are at odds, but they are ultimately like, brothers even.
Yeah.
Like I think they are the like brothers who like, we disagree on these things and we will fight, but ultimately we do have some respect. And he just sits by and watches when Jean murders him and then later is like, yeah, that really sucked, but no, gotta break some eggs. And that again seems out of character for him.
I completely agree. If there's one small redeeming line, it's when Pyro starts saying something about like blah blah blah.
Yes.
And he pulls him up short and he's like, look, Charles did more for mutant kind or the mutant cause than you'll ever know, which is nice to see him sort of yanking the chain on one of his more vicious lieutenants to keep them in line and to show respect for Charles. But his own actions don't do any of the same. So
It's
like, show, don't tell. You can't just say words like that, even though I did like the words, just every other choice you're making undermines Charles's legacy,
Yeah. Yep.
Especially, I understand that he gawks that he needs to treat Jean with very cautiously, but especially after he's seen what she did to Charles, he should be definitely not trying to weaponize that any more than he.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, and just distancing himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
he does say as much at the end. What have I done?
But
it's like,
cannon.
Come on, dude! But you're
like,
smarter than this. You're smarter than this. Like.
He only says it after doesn't he only say it after he's been depowered?
After he's been depowered and she's just going bananas.
It feels hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels totally hollow. Like, there's a scene earlier where he says something like, they have their weapons and we have ours. And he just looks at Jean, who basically gets no lines.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have just turned her into an object in basically the back half of this movie.
In the back half of the lines. By the way, they're all lined up like chess pieces, but like, they're just to... He barely moves, and she's kept in reserve until the... Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, I think all of that's pretty awful. the other note I had about I do enjoy Gene basically my notes say towards the end here when they're having the big fight and Gene goes off the rockers, Gene basically Infinity Wars everybody.
Yeah, that was one. I was thinking that exact thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Just total Thanos move. Although more aggressive than Thanos because she's like, you're all done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
She carefully doesn't mess up Logan's pretty face or his pants, though. So that's
right. That's right. Well, directly.
She can't. I mean, she's obviously pulling her punches there.
Oh, but, yeah. Yes.
Because otherwise there's no explanation.
No, she's definitely.
But then it doesn't make any sense because he's like, I'm the only one who can do it. I'm like, well, I mean, I think you're supposed to think it's because of his powers, but it's not, I guess.
No, I think she's.
Who knows?
It's because of love.
Yeah,
it's because of love.
She's trying to hurt him, and I think even the last.
And she hates all the other X-Men.
Well, they're not even there, right? Like, they're just removed. For a movie called
She killed two of them already.
For a movie called United We Stand, the end is just one dude, like, and everybody else has ran away, basically. Which I don't blame them.
This is the last stand.
Okay.
Yeah, X2 is X-Men United.
My mistake. That was her last stand. Yeah. That's true.
There's a couple other things I just thought were funny as I watched this. there's a scene where Magneto's talking to all his people in the forest, which is also the moment where you're like, did you spend too much money on that last act? Yeah. But the second act of this takes place
apparently
in the woods.
So apparently they did. The Golden Gate Bridge section took like a quarter of the budget or something. It was a bananas effect shot. There's a whole bunch of
this was one
stuff.
Of the most.
It's crazy.
I think it's the most expensive they said movie at the time it was made. It was like 200 and some million.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound. But
I mean, now small potatoes. Yeah. But yeah. But I love the scene where the Magneto is standing in front of them and he yells, "We are the cure!" And I thought to myself, like, "Hello, Cleveland! You're not the cure." I've seen The Cure. No. Jeez. I know. So bad. And then I laughed very hard in that scene where I think Logan goes out on the motorcycle and they have the same shot they use in, I think, all three movies where then they pan over to the plaque on the school.
Yeah. It's established.
And I was like, man, they gotta get their money's worth out of that plaque, apparently. Use it every movie. Yeah. We just stick it up there. We get one shot of somebody zipping out of here.
And the last line. The last line. Basically, I mean, there's more. Obviously, there's a little bit more that happens. But I guess it's the last, certainly the last line at the mansion is way to go, furball. Nailed it. I mean, there is another ending, right? And the other ending, I believe, has Beast at the mansion. Deciding to become a teacher,
it makes better, a lot more sense. Like, so Hank Beast becomes ambassador to the UN for humans and mutants, which feels okay, whatever, they're making a weird distinction, but you're telling me that a dude that was just involved in having the Golden Gate Bridge destroyed and like having, you know, Marines, I guess.
Beat
Marines
up a lot
atomized.
Of people.
Like, that guy, I just feel like if you're involved in a disaster that closely, you're not going to be, the more I say it now, the more I think about politics, but it just feels dumb that, like, you're not going to.
The confirmation process.
Like,
is,
yeah, I would not want to be in that Senate hearing, you know what I mean? Like.
Honestly, that scene would be interesting to me. I would just enjoy watching that, like the Senate hearings of him. Dr. McCoy, isn't this you beating up a lot of soldiers?
That's just a weird choice. That's just another one of those choices. Yeah. That's like, okay, we need to finish this off somehow. Let's tie a random knot here and just call it a day.
Yeah, a lot of this movie. Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it with the like idea that it's just a lot of beats that seem predictable put together so they feel like a story. I don't know. There was a another thing I was going to say about. I'm just trying. Oh, the deaths, the character deaths. So we have at least, you know, two major deaths pretty early in this movie. Scott, who only gets like two
arguably
scenes.
The two leaders of the X-Men. You know, from like the sort of the big two. Followed by, I guess, Storm. It would be the third.
Yeah, which is why I think she gets more room there. I mean, so James Marsden apparently is off shooting Superman Returns. And this is why he is not in most of this movie, is because he was at scheduling conflicts.
He's lucky.
Yeah, I think he chose to be in a better movie.
I think he made his choice.
He's playing almost exactly the same character in Superman.
Yeah, well, that, in a Bryan Singer movie,
yeah, just to be clear.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I think that is apparently why. Apparently, I've according to Wikipedia, anyways, he was off doing that, and Sean Ashmore, who plays Bobby, was offered Jimmy Olsen in that movie and turned it down so that he could film this. So you get the two kind of different approaches to that.
Yeah. One correct, one incorrect.
Yep, correct.
I saw this movie.
One of them a better movie than the other, but
when I first saw this movie, I didn't think it was as bad as everybody else seemed to think. And then even watching it a few times later, I was like, I mean, it's not good, but it's not like, I mean, everybody hated it. And then when I watched it this time, for some reason, I was like, oh wow, this is really bad.
I have gone through waves, and I think what happens is I don't see it for a long time, and then I'm like, is it really that bad? And I watch it in isolation. Having watched the three of them in sequence now,
maybe that's it.
I'm like, ooh, they really screwed this one up. Yeah.
And this is my unpopular take, which is to say, I don't think this is a good movie, but I am not sure how much worse I think it is than X2.
Oh, I think it's way worse than X2.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't think, but even the original X-Men for me, which we talked about, I think is mostly good, but has a lot of unevenness. And then these last two movies, after X2, I was already kind of down on the franchise, and this did nothing to turn me around. Well, yeah, like, so it certainly didn't help in that way. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and like rewatching it this time, there were parts that were better than I remembered. Like I said, the beginning of the movie starts off a little bit stronger because like the premise is good. It's got a lot of like potential, and then it squanders all that potential. And I honestly think if they had taken the Dark Phoenix storyline out of this, I think there would have been a lot more room in this movie for more interesting stuff. But because they need to feel they need to do both of these things, there's not enough room for either of them.
You know, they don't even bury Scott, right? Like,
they don't have anything. They have sunglasses and
goggles.
Okay, so sorry. But there's no, like, nobody stops to mourn him. They're like, well, that's weird.
Yeah. I think that, he does have a tombstone at the end, right?
Yeah. By the end, yeah. But yes, he does. They haven't, you know, they finally got around to it.
Yeah, the one thing I like in the Phoenix stuff is I enjoy the motif they keep using of all the water boiling everywhere. That's kind of cool. And I think the effects on the scene in the house are mostly pretty good.
Yeah, I kind of like the house scene.
Like it's a little poltergeist, but it is effective.
Which I think is crazy. Like they de-age Magneto and Charles, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah,
I could tell this time, but it's not.
It looks
bad.
Like way better than the Star Wars ones.
I can't tell how much of it is CGI and how much of it is makeup.
I think there's definitely CGI though.
There's a little bit, yeah. But I thought that too, and I think it's just and they don't do it. It's not aggressive, I think, is part of it, right? Like Patrick Stewart does not look like weirdly young. They don't give him hair. They don't do anything too ridiculous. But he definitely looks younger, and I think it's effective.
Yeah. They've also got a lot of film from him. Like I'd say, he looks Picardish or like run of TNG era.
Like
sort
TNG
of stuff.
Era.
So you've got a whole bunch of training material. But yeah, I think it works. Yeah.
Well, they weren't doing AI stuff probably at this point,
right?
Yeah,
but whatever. The way they face match stuff, they also key it off of whatever. Prior to the AI deep fake stuff, there was other ways that you could achieve the same effect, and a lot of it was easier with a whole bunch of reference material because you could sort of set stuff up to tweak parameters directly. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. There's boring digression.
Which is Lola, who are
specialists at it. Yeah, I think it was one of their first big swings, and I think it worked pretty well. Yeah, kind of like the whole house scene. It's contained, which is nice. One of my favorite things is the physics of this. I'm making a joke. The physics of Wolverine's claws, where if he needs to cut through something, it's like butter. And if he needs to stick, if he needs to stick them into like drywall and pull himself along, it's not a problem. He can do that.
Well, it seems like it would make sense if they did it sideways, right? Like, like if he held him horizontally to climb up a wall, that would be great. And if he slashed the other way, but they don't bother.
They don't bother doing that.
Yeah. He also in another. No, we're not going to go to that level of detail.
Yeah, in another movie, he's doing it on the top of a train, same kind of climbing on a thing. In the Wolverine.
And later in
this movie, he jumps down and he jumps down into a corner and uses his blades to claws to
Black Panther style.
I don't know why one of the Juggernaut throws him and
Juggernaut's a dummy, that's
goes
why.
Through the roof, through the ceiling, right? And then comes down through on the other side. It's like I can see why he would like go through on the way up, but I'm not sure why he would go through on the way down again.
I laughed a little bit at the scene where Kitty and Bobby jump out and like go through the ground, and then they come back up, and Bobby's like never do that again. But also, I don't understand how they get back
make
up.
Sense. Yeah,
she can apparently do that. I think she can like vibrate. I don't know what it is.
They make up some
excuse. I think her power is that she can go into the ground and come back up.
And though like they kind of mask it,
I think it's supposed to be like swimming.
Sure.
Yeah.
though they kind of mask it, I like the Bobby going full Iceman.
Yeah.
Bit at the end because like I don't know, they a nice homage to the. We feel like again we spent three movies and like he didn't get to do anything.
But again, you can see the
and now at least he has chair.
Not delicate, but the cost of VFX is at this point high enough that we don't see Colossus ironed up a lot. Iron Man has like one or two shots. Beast is largely practical, is my understanding.
Iron Man?
Did I say Iron Man? Iceman. Sorry. Iceman. Iceman is like...
didn't know who you were talking about this
He
one.
Shows up at the very end. You have to... He
invites them to, like, Avengers versus X-Men meeting.
Tony's just wandering by in the background, setting his, like, a cigar on fire with $100 bills or something.
Tony just bought out... The labs. What are they called?
The labs. Yeah. That's right.
Out of business.
On Alcatraz, by the way. Great place. Great place to put labs. Super convenient.
So apparently in earlier drafts of the movie, that was going to be a containment facility for mutants. And that is why he grabbed the bridge to bring it over so that the escape effect, like you could effectively escape over a...
Oh.
And that makes more sense than what they did.
It makes more sense, and it's him protecting mutants.
Yeah. And they'd already signed up.
Sending them all to die.
Exactly, yeah.
Guys, steal a boat.
Well, they'd already signed up to do all of the effects, like for the bridge and all of that, and it was already underway, because I think it's one of the earlier things they did. So as the script evolved, they got stuck with something that made absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah.
So
it looks cool.
Sure. Yeah.
I like the idea, kind of, but I agree it makes much more sense from a plot perspective from that. I think...
They're keeping our people in, as close as we can get to effectively a concentration camp.
I found some conflicting information on this also, but it seems like maybe the Golden Gate Bridge not long enough to get to Alcatraz from land.
That's what I've heard, but... I don't care. That particular part of it doesn't bother me as much, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I really just don't think that the peptides in the cure could really bond with the RNA that's required to... So, yeah, I'm glad you've got the hardcore, the engineering stuff.
We're tackling the tough questions.
I've got the chemistry stuff covered. Malts. I don't know. Go for the astrophysics, maybe.
He's doing the law, legal applications.
A movie we watched.
The biggest failing for me is really just the last act of this. And you know what struck me watching this too is like. This movie feels long. It's an hour and 45 minutes. It's not a long movie.
I watched Dune again this week. That is a 2-hour, 40-some-odd-minute movie. And it does not feel as long as this one.
It earns it.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That stinks. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, this is the end of the original X-Men trilogy, and we'll never deal with this again.
Ritual?
Let's do it.
Okay. Do you know what? I'll go first because screw it.
You go first. I was going to say.
Yeah, well, I want a level set too because last week, I think we had all weak biffs. And I wavered a lot because I like X2, but having actually watched it with a more critical eye, I found some, didn't really work for me. So I can't even give this a weak biff because I think that this one is significantly worse than the one that I just gave a less than glowing review to. So it's got to be a John Jr., like a middling to high John Jr. for me. And especially I'm going to call it a John Jr. because if we, or at least I sometimes, hand out a biff because I think that they made us, they took a swing and they missed. Or, you know, even if it didn't work well, I think they set out to do what they, you know, they kind of achieved what they were doing, whether they took a risk. I don't think this movie set out to achieve what it wanted to do at all. I'm not even convinced it knew what it wanted to do. It just, I think it wanted to be in theaters is, I think, the only thing that it wanted to do. And it did achieve that, I suppose. But nailed beyond it. That, not a lot going on here. So, yeah, it's a John Jr. for me.
John?
Oh, yeah, it's easily a John Jr. I was
let's go thinking for it. Alex. Go for it. Pick him out.
I was thinking Alex, but there, I think there's a little bit of, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think an Alex is something that I just can't enjoy at all.
Yeah.
And there are little things in here that I enjoy. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of comic book nods. And, of course, I'm, you know, not made of stone. Those will often work on me.
Is that your mutant power?
Yeah.
Being not made of stone?
I'm not the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've all got that covered.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna go with John Jr. But a kind of low John Jr. I think.
Yeah.
It's just there's it's so klutzy in so many things. The dialogue is awful. I mean, pretty much throughout the whole thing, it does a pretty significant disservice to Gene. And I don't know what else to say about it. Really, it's just it's not very likable. And Magneto, both of them. Don't come out very well or are not handled with any kind of nuance in this movie, and it's disappointing. So that's my grade.
Yeah, I was on the same fence as you, John. I'm not,
yeah,
I'm struggling a little bit. I think it might nose into John Jr. territory just barely. Just
the
barely.
Alex, man. Let's just give it one Alex again. Out of if you don't, I will. If you don't want to, I will. I'll take the heat for giving out an Alex.
You'll take it back
down. You were doing a high John Jr. a minute ago.
No, I wasn't. I was doing a middling John Jr.
Okay, maybe
I'm getting talked out.
I guess, here's where, let's go to the transcript.
Yeah,
yeah. What's tricky is, there are still, as John said, there are still some elements of this that kind of work. Like I said, I like the premise setup. I agree with you, Guy, 100% that it does not achieve or really swing too high. And I think that is one of the big issues. I think the stuff they do with Gene is bad. I think the Magneto stuff is bad. In some ways, it also feels like they demote a lot of people in order to give. And I'm not being mean about this or anything, but like, I think there's a point with this franchise where they realize that Hugh Jackman is the draw and the star, and they need to demote other people in order to give him more time. Yep. And I think combined with killing Scott and Charles and then upping Halle Berry a little bit.
They killed Mystique,
like, too. Anna Paquin gets a lot to do. Yeah, you took Mystique out. It feels like in some points, like, let's remove a whole ton of people from this movie and demote them to really like two-dimensional characters in order to give a handful of people more time. And I think fundamentally, the X-Men, more than almost any other of the franchises, is an ensemble. Yeah. And this fails woefully on that front, because despite the protestations of it's about teamwork, this is a Logan and Logan movie, right? In all but name.
Yeah.
And that's fine. There are some quite good, there is a quite good movie about
like
Logan.
One and a half.
There
one
are
and
some
half,
other one. Movie. Yeah, yeah. One and a half. I'll true. Give you one that's and true. A half. And I don't know. It doesn't quite work. But Hugh Jackman's still really good. That's the thing that hits me here is like, he's good at what he does. There's a reason he's played this character for so long.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But you know, I think he's still very watchable and he still holds the movie together. But it is a movie that perhaps should not be held together, much like a bridge that is transported over an entire bay. I think now it's an Alex. It's an Alex.
Love
it's an
Alex. Did
I'm
it.
Doing it.
Love
it's
it.
An
he
Alex.
Did it. We talked him into it.
Yeah, it's not good enough. It's not.
Or
it's
he talked
not,
himself into it.
I don't feel met about it. I feel bad. I talked myself into it. Yeah, I don't particularly like this movie. I want to. It just squandered any good feeling I have about it in the the back half of it.
It's not offensive.
I went into this thinking I was going to be like, I was going to be the one. Well, I mean, I guess I am on the high end of the scale now, but that I was almost going to be saying it's a good movie. And then I watched it again.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's not good.
That's just it. It's not bad from start to finish. It's not like.
Yeah,
In some ways, that makes it worse, right? Yeah. If it's just bad from start to finish, you just write it off. But it's like, oh, no, you made it
bad.
The
other two had a thesis, and it revolved around the essential mutant thing. This one. I had no clear thesis, right? Ostensibly, it was the cure and through which we can examine whether people want to be who they are, or sort of, you know, through science conform to, you know, the
societal norms.
Yeah. And I think they dropped the ball on that because they were too busy picking up all the other balls that they wanted to juggle and play with. So,
right.
Yeah.
Smashing action figures together, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, shall we move over to Superhero Sweep / the letters page?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's do some Superhero Sweep. Speaking of X-Men, the X-Men 97 debuts, as we record this, next week, I believe. This is the continuation to the 1990s X-Men animated series, a show that I have a lot of nostalgia about, but I know that you guys probably missed out on. So I'm very interested to see what happens, but we should mention a story broke this week as we record that the creator, Bo DeMeo, was fired weeks before the premiere. He had previously worked on Moon Knight and on at least, I guess, one version of the upcoming Blade movie, I think. Unknown as to why he left.
Yeah.
Nobody has given any reasons for it. I know one of the notes was that he also had deleted his Instagram account. But that has not said anything one way or the other. So we don't quite know what the story is there. Not a lot to add to that at this point. Yeah. But I'm still looking forward to seeing the show.
There's been some, I think it didn't at their investor meeting, wasn't Iger saying that like they've killed a bunch of stuff to start being focused?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know that this has bearing on this, but because I mean the project's still coming out and they had subsequent seasons.
No, I mean specifically Blade. If this guy's
just said he worked on some early drafts, it doesn't say. Yeah, I don't think that would mandate firing him from running this show.
Yeah, right.
No, not that. Like, oh, we're not going to run with your Blade thing and move. Let's move on is one thing. We're not going to run with your Blade thing and then having this guy flip out would not be good.
Yeah, we don't.
But again, we don't know anything, and I'm not saying that's what happened. But it seems like this one's extra, not just showbiz.
Yeah, well, the Hollywood Reporter, which initially reported this story, said that he had completed writing duties on season 2 of X-Men 97, was lining up press and making plans to attend the show's Hollywood premiere on March 13th. He was even discussing loose ideas for a third season with members of his team. And then they parted ways suddenly with no explanation. Yeah.
And deleting your IG account and all that feels like the kind of thing you do when you do not want to flip out and
possibly, or later, possibly you know? Just didn't want to take, like, he didn't apparently had gotten people. Some flack before. I don't know. So, you know.
Oh, man. If we find out that this guy has just been, sorry, I know he's also a gay black man. I don't think we've mentioned that. And that's cool and exciting. And man, if he's been taking a bunch of heat, that would really suck.
So,
like, not from Marvel, but from, you know. From
I think, you know, to see if that story develops anywhere or not. But again, I think we will probably talk about the X-Men show. I don't know. Are you guys planning on watching?
I'll probably watch the first episode. you know me, Dan. But I don't plan on watching the whole thing, I wouldn't imagine. Because when Hank was young, I was trying to get him, you know, trying to find things for him to watch that we could both enjoy. And I watched a couple episodes of the 90s version. And I was like, boy, there's so many lasers in this.
There's so many lasers. It's a very laser like, heavy show.
I don't know. This one doesn't seem that great. Yeah. Like, I mean, and we, you know, he ended up liking worse things than this for sure that I had to watch. But it wasn't like on the top of my list, even though I love the X-Men.
I think it's tricky for me because
I'm not. Yeah, I know you're jazzed. You have a huge nostalgia factor for it. I just didn't really do anything for me. I'm intrigued for it. I will probably. I'll watch it.
Yeah,
few,
I mean, maybe
for
we can,
sure,
we can talk about, you know, maybe do one episode on it or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, let's watch see the how it goes. Three. And if I mean, it's great, know, then we, like whatever.
You know. Yeah, sure. I think the thing for me, too, is somebody made this comment in the Incomparable member Discord, and it really resonated with me, which is that they had watched, they had gotten into, like, Batman the Animated Series, and then this, which aired, not exactly contemporaneously, but pretty close, within the same 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I loved, you know, and they said, I loved Batman, but this was the show that got me into comics. And that was exactly what it was for me. Like, I loved Batman, the animated series for its own, being its own thing.
Yeah.
But it didn't send me out to read Batman comics.
Yeah.
X-Men, like, there were other ways to get Batman fixes, right? Batman was such a big part of popular culture. Like, I had Batman pajamas when I was a kid.
Right.
I watched the Adam West show when it was in reruns, like all of that. And, but the X-Men cartoon was the thing that was my gateway into buying comics.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to buy the X-Men comics. It was like, who are all these characters? I need to know more about them.
Yeah. I think for me, for me, it was also, you know, the cartoons in the, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, like the Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and whatever the other ones were.
I find difficult to watch.
Yeah,
right?
No, they're like, terrible.
I don't have that nostalgia for it.
They're absolutely awful.
Anyway, that's why I feel excited about this, and like certainly it's an era thing. So I'm interested to watch it. I may or may not be able to stick it out depending on how good it is. Yeah, next week as we record.
Okay.
March 20th.
Okay.
Additional rumor mill.
We might want to stick that in because the next movie that we would watch if we're going to keep going with this X-Men thing is X-Men Origins Wolverine. So we might want something before for sure.
To be clear. I've never seen
Logan.
I've never seen
Colin
Origins. I feel that I might need to watch it.
Okay. Yeah. If Dan's not seen it, then I'll watch it. Yeah. I've seen it like enough times that I wish I could just pull one out of my brain and
that's
give
fair.
It to you.
I have seen The Wolverine, which I think is again, I agree with you. It's half a good movie. And I kind of, interested in watching it again.
The second half is terrible.
And then Logan is a great movie. Yeah. We'll talk about that. And then there's
possibly the
upcoming.
Best. Well,
there's other X-Men movies too, if depending on how much stuff we need to fill.
Year of X-Men.
Right.
It's the year of Hugh Jackman.
That's right. Well, he's a huge.
He's a huge Jackman.
Yeah, he's a huge Jackman.
Okay, let's get it.
Sorry. Last item, rumors of Shang-Chi 2, which we have not, it's never been officially announced. I heard some potential rumors that it would be one of the things on that chopping block, but I haven't seen anything to support that.
Yeah.
There's a suggestion that it will start filming next year with the original director and writer Destin Daniel Cretton returning. And a rumor that it will involve time travel and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But not the Finn Jones Marvel or Netflix version of Iron Fist, but a version that will debut in the upcoming Eyes of Wakanda animated series. So, big question mark on that. I don't know if the Eyes of Wakanda has a time.
I assume they're going to make him an Asian guy.
Yeah, I think he is now in the comics, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I assume is that no longer Danny Rand then? Yeah, I kind of remember this. I think
ending
it's just a lot of cultural appropriation and
it seems we don't want to watch that show, but like the ending of that is not the second season is way better than the first season. The first season is terrible.
Weirdly so, yes.
It ends with Jessica Henwick as Iron Fist, spoiler alert. And that's cool. Let's have her. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That said, they have done other weirder things of bringing back people from other versions, right? Yeah. So, it's certainly, I wouldn't write it off.
Yeah.
Especially if it's still in development, but it's going to, we have some time, I think, probably before we see anything coming there.
Yeah.
I kind of want to, can we stop doing time travel and trippy alternate reality? Like, I'm getting a little, oh, okay.
Come on, they're still doing Kang. They're obviously not going to.
Well, nominally.
Well, I think, I mean, the things that I've read sure they indicate that they are going to recast the part, but it has not, it certainly has not been announced.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot in flux right now with the MCU still, so I would say my bet is nothing will be announced before the Deadpool 3 movie, the Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
I think they're going to let it lie
when is the
until that's out. Oh, what, D23? Yeah, I don't know where it when it is this year. I'm looking it up right now.
But I mean, August. We're always telling these companies so pull that would be the likely
place to
agree.
Announce something.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. You sit on it till you're ready to ship it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, the funny thing is that Apple really needs to learn Apple's rule these days, because they just shut up. Stop talking. And yeah, I agree with you. Just wait it out. Deadpool 3, don't say anything to jinx or screw up Deadpool 3. Because I think it's been kind of a rough year, 18 months for them kind of thing in terms
keep
of
your
like
powder
having
dry.
Hits.
Yeah.
Just let Ryan Reynolds do his thing and his charm and like make that go and then piggyback on some of that excitement. Like
I agree. I mean, you got a couple. I think the only thing scheduled to come out between now and then are maybe like, I think it's maybe just the X-Men series. I don't think there's anything else. And that's totally, it's not even MCU. Yeah.
It's a nostalgia play. Absolutely. It's not going to mess anything up too much.
It's not a mass market.
It's all good.
Play.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens there. And then the only other thing that I was going to mention was just a nice, there was a nice video of Charlie Cox talking at a con this past weekend about how happy he was that Deborah Ann Woll and Eldon Henson were back for Daredevil and how important they were to the story, which just was a very sweet bit from him. So,
yeah. He seems like a real nice guy, like more so than Matt Murdock. He seems like.
Well, Matt's carrying
a lot
of
guilt. What I mean? It's like.
Yeah, that's his thing.
I know. But like. How RDJ is kind of, you can squint your eyes and see Tony Stark in him and Tom Holland, kind of Peter Parker-esque. I don't think he's very, I don't think his natural personality matches that.
I think his personality matches the She-Hulk version of him.
Yes. There you go.
That's a great call. Yeah.
A little bit more happy-go-lucky.
Yeah. Well, he's knocking boots with Jen, so you know that would put a smile on your yellow devil face.
Letters? Do we have letters? Thought we had one, but now I've lost it. I'm looking back over my letters. I can't remember.
We do, but Steve Barr from February 19th.
Did we not talk? No, we talked about that one. We read that one.
Yeah, we did. Sorry, Extraordinary Season 2, X-Men Rewatch.
Yeah, I gotta finish this. Yeah, I do want to watch Extraordinary Season 2.
I'll cut this bit out.
I got stalled in Season 1, and I just gotta catch up. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it, too.
I liked it. Steve also suggests Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the MCU, but I think we've come up with it a few times, and I like
it. We have covered a lot of it.
At some point, I'm gonna do a rewatch of that.
And then I think we have one comment from Billy on Mastodon, where we are at biff@zeppelin.flights, who wrote, found this quote on Reddit after finishing the finale of Loki, thought you'd appreciate how well it condenses what Loki did at the end. Quote, to summarize, Loki's solution to the trolley problem is be the trolley and give everyone a chance to get off the rails.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cute. Liked it.
Yeah.
Also a
very hero move.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Which is it's the arc for that character, I guess.
Yeah, it's a Captain Kirk style reinventing of the rules.
I think that's it. I think that's all I had, unless you had something else.
I think that's it. Yeah. No, and I think John's running out of patience.
We're about an hour. That's good. That's where we should be.
Exactly. Come on.
So long as you don't sense another hour and 20 ahead of us.
5 minutes and 2.5 hours.
I'm
it's like the difference between X2 and X3.
That's right.
Yeah, it was interminable.
Well, we will continue our coverage of the year of X-Men / Hugh Jackman, I guess, in some form or another. But until then, just want to add thank you everybody out there for listening, and especially to those of you who are members of The Incomparable and support us. If you're interested in supporting the show, you can go to theincomparable.com/members to sign up. And you get a lot of great perks, including bootleg episodes, ad-free episodes, access to our members' Discord. It's a lot of fun, and we really appreciate it. This is, as you probably know, this is a show with no ads. We never really had ads, except for when Guy book sponsors. It's been very sparse on the ground lately, so not...
Do you know why the ad industry from podcasts is really drying up?
Even the fake ads. We can't even afford the fake ads anymore.
Kind of hard to come by.
We appreciate all of our members. Thank you very much. And with that, I would, of course, like to thank my co-host for being here and suffering through this movie with me. John Boltz, always a pleasure.
This episode was brought to you by Canadian Cigars.
Ooh, that was his last one, John. Guy English, thank you for being here.
Justice for number one.
And thank you once again, everybody out there, for listening. We will see you next time.
Almost did a number one. I was almost going to try to say something about number one, and I couldn't think of anything else. You would have been so mad.